It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes over Skype. I'm all Skypey today.
Well, you know, and the studio is mobile today because of the weather. We didn't make it into our usual studio. Neither of us did. So we're trying the mobile studio today, and hopefully it's going to sound okay.
It's like MRCTV hits the road. I like it. I feel like this could be a thing. Maybe this can be a trial run for when we do gigs.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, we do have the conventions. We have debates coming up. So who knows? This might be the wiring.
So many debates too. Why are they doing so many debates?
They're gonna need a bigger stage.
I see it as whenever somebody comes into the Democratic running at this point, like Bernie Sanders just came out yesterday saying that he's going to run, which is awesome. I guess they like ran out of pudding cups at his nursing home and he needs something else to do or something. But I kind of envision it, and I hate that I'm going to say this. This is totally my husband's fault because I don't watch wrestling, but I kind of see it as like,
oh, come on. Yes, you do. You watch wrestling, confess.
They all come running into the ring and just pound on one another. I don't know. I think it'd be more interesting if that's the way they did it. That's just me.
Well, you know, if Bernie Sanders enters the debates with a folding chair in his hand, that would be entertaining. I will give you that.
Well, he probably will, but it's because he needs to sit down. I don't know that it's because he's going to whack Kamala Harris over the head with it. I think it's more like because, you know, his hips are a little fragile and he might need to take a breather. But that's just my theory. Anyway.
Oh, I don't think they're going to have a turnbuckle to jump off of. But, you know, let's use that as our jumping off point for the story of really of the month. It's coming to be at this point, the way it's going. Jussie Smollett. And the fact that the media...
What a name, by the way. What a name. Yep. Jussie. Who names their kid Jussie?
I don't... obviously, the Smolletts.
I'm sorry if there's any Jussies out there listening, but your name is stupid. Anyway, it's a dumb name for a dumb person, and he's proven that, I think, at this point.
Well, again, you know, everything's still alleged at this point, but here we go. His story's fallen apart, but the best is to watch the media backtrack. I mean, the media has been salivating over this. They wanted it to be true so bad. They wanted it to be true, and now that he's no longer being looked at as a victim officially by police, and, you know, they'd like to talk to him, and it may turn that... maybe some testimony. We might even see an indictment for him, you know, later today. People might want to see him come in to the police. I like that the police contacted his lawyers and requested that he comes in for an interview. I bet you Roger Stone would have liked to be treated like that.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe they should have just raided Jussie's house at the butt crack of dawn with, like, an entire SWAT team and half of the CNN crew or something. I don't know.
He could have wore a T-shirt.
More entertaining.
He could have wore a T-shirt, Jussie is innocent.
You know, and walked out the Richard Nixon, whatever, victory / peace signs. No, look, Jussie Smollett, and again, you're right, this all of this is alleged at this point because he hasn't confessed to anything. He hasn't confessed to making up this whole story, you know, and police have not confirmed that's exactly the trajectory that they're going, and we don't have a court decision. So, again, we have to wait to see how all this played out. But I find it interesting that I'm saying that, because I'm a person with a brain who understands that you wait for facts to come out before you actually blame somebody for something. That's not what the media did here, and that's never what they do. Which, by the way, brings me to my little side note. How crappy of a person are you that you actually wanted it to be true that a couple of white racists were trolling the streets of Chicago in the middle of the night just looking for a black dude to beat up on and throw bleach on and tie a rope around his neck? Which, by the way, if you're going to stage something like that, I'm not saying he did, I'm not saying he didn't, but if you are going to stage something like that, maybe don't do it in downtown Chicago. Because let me tell you where people are not going to be running around screaming, "This is MAGA country." Probably downtown Chicago. I'm just saying, maybe go somewhere where that might be more likely.
There's a great meme going around the internet. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a picture of Jussie, and it says, you know, only in America, what a great nation where a black man has to pay two other black men to oppress him.
Pretty much. And a Nigerian, a couple of Nigerians at that. This might be the first time that an American has actually duped a Nigerian and not the other way around. You know all those emails that you get? This is a Nigerian.
Neither of them were princes.
Give me your bank account information.
neither of them were princes, we believe. One of them's like his workout trainer and was an extra in the show. I mean, the story is so convoluted.
The whole thing is so messed up. They were pretty jacked, I will say that, based on the one picture that we have of these guys that I've seen. But look, these are two guys who are allegedly saying, telling police that, hey, look, not only did he pay us to do this, but we rehearsed the whole thing. And then it turns out that, you know, Jussie Smollett once auditioned for a play where the character went through something almost exactly the same as this. And, you know, he's also been in trouble for lying to the police before.
Disclaimer, not lying, but false information Yes, false information. He didn't give them his real name, basically, is for something related to a DUI, we believe.
Which, of course, is not lying. It's totally, totally not the same.
Totally not the same as lying. He has no history of that.
It depends on what the definition of is, really, is kind of where we're at this point. But look, this guy, you know, if it comes out that he made all this up, what I think there's a lot of layers of awful about that. But one of the most really upsetting, I think, is how bummed the media is that they need racist stories to be true. They want America to be racist. It proves a narrative that they've been working towards. It proves a picture that they're trying to paint of 63 million Trump voters or anybody that steps out of their house with a MAGA hat. You know, it's so sad how much they want it to be true that a black man could get jumped in the middle of the night by a couple of white racists in a city street. And they want that. How sick is that?
Okay, I'm going to trigger you for a moment, but how about the fact that, are you a conservative pouncing upon this?
No, we're seizing now. That's the headlines that I've seen. We're seizing now. Well, we're not pouncing,
we're seizing. We're seizing the Smollett story.
I see. It's alliteration. It's funny, I actually saw an article the other day, and I can't remember who it was from, and I have to go back and find it, but it was actually criticizing Fox News' Tucker Carlson for criticizing the media saying that conservatives pounce. So now we're pouncing on the pouncing, apparently, is where we're at.
We're getting so meta! This is getting so meta, it's awesome.
I couldn't keep it straight if I wanted to. So we're in this place now where, you know, if a leftist is quote-unquote attacked, they're the victim. If it turns out that the leftist lied about being attacked, they're still the victim because it's conservatives' fault for pouncing on it. At what point is it, no, you're a lying scumbag and you need to take ownership of your actions?
I'm going to venture the point that liberals have been upset when conservatives point out facts for quite some time.
True. That is true.
You point out a fact and automatically, you know, you're just evil or you're racist or you're bigoted or they have some label they got to put on you just because you pointed out. Of course, what they can't accept is the fact that, you know, the big difference between 1969 and 2019 is, you know, it's hard to keep that narrative going. And they want it to be. They want it to be 1969. They want the protests in the street. That's the narrative that they want to keep going. And it's hard to accept that things have improved. And victimhood makes you a hero. And if the Jussie Smollett story is proven to be a hoax, that's exactly what he was looking to do, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that the media ran with it. They always do. I mean, you look at and this is not a story, I think, that you can look at in isolation either. I don't give two rips about Jussie Smollett. I've never watched Empire. You know, I really, you know, when I first heard this story, I thought it stunk to high heaven, to be honest with you. There were a bunch of red flags. But at the same time, there was a part of me that was like, dude, if it ended up that he got jumped in the middle of the street, that sucks. You know, I don't want that for anybody. But other than that, I don't really give two thoughts to Jussie Smollett. So I think it's kind of sad that this story has gotten so much attention when, you know, people are getting shot. Black people are getting shot in the streets of Chicago every single day. You know, there's a one-year-old who's currently on life support because he got shot in the head because somebody took a shot at his mom and missed him and ended up shooting this poor baby who's laying in a hospital in Chicago right now, who's not getting nearly the media attention that this guy is. You know, so I think that part is pretty sad, but I think that the reason it's worth talking about is because this is just the latest in a very, very long line of quote-unquote hate crimes that, if it's proven to be a hoax, it just follows a whole bunch of other ones that were proven to be a hoax. I mean, we've had, you know, Muslim women saying that they were attacked and their hijabs got ripped off that ended up not being true. We've got churches that have been vandalized where it ended up being a member of the church who staged the whole thing over and over. The Covington kids, you know, one little tiny snippet of a much longer video comes out in the media, run with it for 24, 48 hours before it turns out that that was completely and totally misconstrued.
No, absolutely misconstrued. And you know, it's funny, a lot of these things that are misconstrued. Now, you're talking two different things here with the Covington kids and then, of course, the other ones with the hoaxes. With the hoaxes, what I find is interesting is all these people want to blame Trump, and so many of these people are minorities themselves or they're gay, and they perpetrate, you know, these hoaxes to further their message. And it's interesting because, you know, all these things are initially reported as hate crimes and they're marked down as hate crimes. So when reporters go and look at how many hate crimes are reported in America since Trump has become president, these things are counted. You know, I don't believe they're pulled off the books once they find out, oh, yeah, it's a hoax, because they go by reporting. This is a hate crime that went as reported. The Covington kids is different because it involves MAGA. And, of course, you know, it involves the MAGA hat and Jussie Smollett's story. They said it's MAGA country. And then you have stories that the media loves to ignore, like the guy in Kentucky who was out shopping at Sam's Club who had a gun pulled on him because he was wearing a MAGA hat. That's the allegations there. And at least there's witnesses and police have actually charged somebody. You know, you had that poor teen that was assaulted at the fast food restaurant and had the drink thrown in his face. They don't like covering those stories. But boy, you know, if someone that said MAGA or wore a hat and did something that we could possibly jump the gun and construe as evil, we're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we've had multiple videos come out now. I mean, the guy, the Vans employee, who just got canned because he was screaming obscenities at a Trump supporter. And, you know, and what's really interesting is, you know, I'm sad to say this because it takes up way too much of my time, but I tend to kind of live on Twitter as part of my job. And one thing that you see consistently over and over again, whenever a story does happen to kind of, you know, rise up from the depths about, you know, this kid with a MAGA hat got pounced on or got jumped or whatever, you see a lot of people come out and say, well, he shouldn't have been instigating it by wearing a MAGA hat in the first place. He shouldn't have been wearing it. He's inciting violence by wearing a MAGA hat. He shouldn't have been wearing it out in public. And I'm like, okay, seriously, at what point? Again, it's this constant conservatives or Trump supporters or Republicans or whatever right-wing category you want to lump people into. It's always their fault. It's never the left's fault, even when they get violent. You know, it's kind of like Chris Cuomo saying, well, you know, not all punches are the same. Antifa is at least justified. It's this idea that the left can do no wrong, even when they lie, even when they assault people. It's always going to be the MAGA hat wearer's fault, even if all he was doing was walking down the street.
Yeah, no, and then, you know, and then when they go back and they look at their coverage, you know, they can always find a way to justify.
Well, I think the more appropriate analogy to say is if people were wearing shirts and that said, I hate black people, would he be okay to say, don't come into my place with that? And I think most people would be like, yeah, that's how people like him see the MAGA hat.
You know, but but you gave it so much more coverage, like I said, than compared to the teen who's assaulted, or I can't say the Covington kids, but it was negative with the Covington kids. The coverage once they were exonerated, their coverage went down quite drastically. It seemed to once the second video came out, it was like, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, they never bring on 50 panels of experts to discuss how they were wrong and have egg on their faces. You know, that's the thing is, you know, this isn't just about reporting a story anymore. This isn't just about, oh, well, this guy was jumped says he was jumped in Chicago. This horrible thing is alleged to have happened. We're going to report it as a news story. You make up your mind. It's always, well, we're going to report it as a news story, and then we're going to use that to segue to our entire 24/7 coverage of how this is all Trump's fault, and we're going to tie in every possible way that he's a racist and that all of his supporters are racist. So again, these stories are not reported as news stories. They're reported as leaping points for them to jump off of to discuss how the president and everybody who ever voted for him hates black people, hates minorities, hates immigrants, blah, blah, blah. So they use it as a segue. And I think that is the part that is really starting to tick me off and a lot of other people. This idea that it's being
wait.
A larger narrative.
Wait, you're telling me you get ticked off about issues?
Well, I almost said pissed off, but I didn't know if we could do that. But I'm going to go ahead and go with it because I'm pretty pissed off about it. It's ridiculous. And but then again, it comes out, oh, well, you know, maybe this wasn't true. The police are now saying something completely different. And there's CNN's Brian Stelter. You know, well, I think the media did a really good job. They did a fantastic job. You know, of course, all they're doing is reporting it. It's not our fault if it ends up not being true.
I think it was a really careful reporting by news organizations, but it all gets lumped in together at the end of the day. It all gets lumped in together in the minds of many people who now look at this and say, what went wrong here? And obviously, at the end of the day, what went wrong is that he may have made it up. And ultimately, that's his responsibility.
Even if we reported on it for 5 days straight, it's totally not our fault. And I'm like, does he hear himself? Does he realize?
What I particularly like about CNN, and you mentioned this earlier with the, oh, well, you know, he was wearing a MAGA hat. Here they are, you know, Jim Acosta, CNN defenders of the First Amendment and freedom of speech, so noble. Now they are apples, not bananas. Well, they are kind of bananas. Anyways. You know, defenders of First Amendment. Oh, but he wore a MAGA hat. So why did this kid have to wear the MAGA hat, you know, to go into the store? You know, why? They're so offended over a piece of clothing. You know, these are the defenders of the First Amendment and the Me Too movement. But yet, if they wore a MAGA hat, well, they, you know, that's suspect.
Yeah, it's funny when free speech matters and when it doesn't, when the First Amendment matters and when it doesn't. So, you know, again, I think that the Smollett story, as much as I'm sick and tired of talking about it, I think it's important to talk about. I think it's important to talk about in a larger context, you know, which, by the way, you know, as a completely related subject, when it comes to this narrative that they're trying to paint and when it comes to, you know, this idea that the left so desperately needs America to be a racist nation. They need it for perpetual victimhood. It's the foundation that all of their policy proposals are based upon, is this idea that the man is holding you down, whitey is holding you down, you know, we're racist and we need to fight back against this. Now we're dragging dead men. It's not enough to just go back and dig up some, like, you know, some athlete's high school tweets from like 15 years ago or something. Now they're going after John Wayne.
But I don't know of any of these so-called liberals that listen to anything but their own mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and a Playboy interview. That's where they decided to go. I guess when you know when you go so far back and you want to look at quotes and you're a liberal, Twitter's not good enough. Let's go look and see what people said in Playboy.
50 years ago, no less. 50 years ago, back when, like, I'm not even sure that you can find, maybe you can at this point, somebody's probably archived it, but this wasn't even like a, this wasn't even an article that people posted online because the internet wasn't even around back then. This is something that somebody had to go dig up. Yeah, so people on Twitter, and this is where I just, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I check my news feed just to see what's going on, and I immediately just want to call in sick out of work and go to bed. Because I immediately lose faith in humanity.
Yeah,
that's like what happened yesterday.
I'm not going to let you do that. Just to let you know, that's not a good excuse. That's not excuse time off.
Mental health day. Everybody needs a mental health day, and people that work in this profession probably needs quite a few. That's what I felt like yesterday. I get on Twitter, and everybody's freaking out over 50-year-old comments that John Wayne made in a 1971 edition of Playboy. Where, look, I'm going to admit it. The guy said some pretty jacked up stuff. The guy who was born in 1907 and died in 1979, back in 1971, said some pretty jacked up stuff. Who would have thunk it? It's like that's never happened before. You know, he said some pretty jacked up stuff about gay people, some stuff about, you know, black people being less educated than whites, and that white supremacy was a good thing until all the black people could be as smart as or as educated as white people. Stuff that, it's so far from what would have flown today, but it was 50 years ago. The man's been dead for 40.
And he's never going to work in Hollywood again. He's going to be like Kevin Hart's old tweets. He's never going to work in Hollywood again, I guarantee it, right?
Well, his career has definitely been put 6 feet under, I think. He'll never make a movie again, that's for sure. John Wayne is done. He's done.
Again, it's 50 years ago, and I think he said, you know, characters like Midnight Cowboy, it's perverted, and he called them fags.
Which I can't say. I have never seen Midnight Cowboy. That's much more your purview. Well, did that come out? When, how old were you?
I wasn't alive when John Wayne made these comments. Thank you very much. I was not born yet. But I have seen Midnight Cowboy. But that's because I like films. But, so he didn't like that. What I also like about Twitter is getting upset. He said some mean things about socialism, too.
Oh, he did. He did say some mean things about socialism. I mean, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Hey, Twitter, guess what? You know, socialism sucked 50 years ago, and it still sucks today.
Just ask Venezuela. True story.
I'm going to get email hate now. You know this.
That's fine. Bring on the socialists. I don't, look, I actually would like to hear people's defense of socialism. I think that it's funny. I need some comedy in my life because I get down with so much of the news cycle. Please send us jokes. We'll read them on air. I find that hilarious.
Send us your best socialism jokes.
But no, John Wayne, man, just leave the guy alone. He made some westerns. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but you're going to tell me that that's offensive. And it wasn't good things that he said. I'm not defending what he said. But then again, you know, you can go look at half of what rappers are putting in their lyrics today. And frankly, as a woman, I'm incredibly offended by those. So it's funny when people want to get offended and when they don't, what they want to get offended by and when they don't. And again, I think it just plays into this idea that the left so desperately needs America to be a racist nation. They're willing to, you know, make up stories about it. They're willing to peddle fake hate crimes. They're willing to dig up 50-year-old comments by dead men. And it's the saddest thing in the world, because I think people like Martin Luther King Jr. really did want us to move forward. They wanted improvement. They didn't want this perpetual battle. They didn't want this constant cycle of racial conflict. They wanted a resolution, and we've come so far as a nation that it feels so disrespectful to those people to pretend like things have not come so far and improved so much, and to continually dredge it all back up.
Well, like I said, it's trying to make 1969 into 2019, and I just don't think you can do it. The victim is a hero.
I don't like being a victim. I would rather just go and realize the American dream and make my money and be left alone, frankly. But I don't understand the perpetual victimization. I don't. But look, that is exactly what all of their proposals are built on. If you look at, I mean, that's what the Green New Deal is, right? That's exactly what the Green New Deal is.
It's environmental justice. It's environmental justice. And let's go as far as Amy Klobuchar being asked at a Democratic event over the weekend. You know, one of the questioners, a college student, came up and said, you know, do you believe in environmental justice? Will that be a preeminent part of your campaign? Environmental justice.
Yes, because there is this theory out there that underprivileged people or minorities are disproportionately affected by bad things in the environment, by pollution, by all this stuff, you know, and that the government has to step in and regulate the industry and regulate everybody else and take everybody else's money in order to make it equal. She was also asked at the same exact rally, by the way, she was asked, do you believe in free college? And she hemmed and hawed until she finally had to admit, no, I don't really believe in free college. That's not something that I support. But again, it's the same exact thing. It's, well, all of these poor college students are just being burdened by debt, and it's just so unfair, and they're such victims. Bull. Bull.
How do you really feel?
I feel like I should start identifying as I'm trans financial. I am someone who has no debt. I am a person in debt, or I am a person without debt living in an indebted person's body, and my debt should simply be forgiven because I identify as trans financial.
Okay, that seems good.
That's the rules, right? I understand the game correctly, don't I?
I think so, and I think we should wrap up on that note. We are simply out of time. If Brittany owes you money, good luck. She's not identifying as someone that owes you money.
Trans financial.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us on the MRC TV podcast. Be sure to check us out. You can find this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and, of course, a lot of you streaming it right off the MRC TV website. Until next week, I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. Have a great Wednesday.